तपाईँ एसपिएस नेपालीको साथमा हुनुहुन्छ। अरू रोचक सामग्रीहरूका लागि sbs.com.au/nepali जानुहोस्।
नमस्ते, एसबीएस नेपाली पडकास्टमा तपाईँलाई स्वागत छ। म दिनिता रिसाल। श्रोतावृन्द, आज हामी नेपालका लागि पूर्व अस्ट्रेलियन राजदूत फेलिसिटी भोकसँगको कुराकानीको दोस्रो भाग लिएर आएका छौं। सन् 1980 ताका नै युनिभर्सिटी अफ क्वीन्सल्याण्डमा पढ्दै गरेको बेला ग्याप इयर लिएर आफू एसियाली देशहरूमा ब्याकप्याकरको रूपमा घुम्दै जाँदा हिमालयतर्फ हानिएपछि नेपालसँगको सम्बन्ध शुरू भएको बताउने भोक सन् 2021 2024 नेपालका लागि अस्ट्रेलियन राजदूत थिइन् र उनको सोही तीन वर्षको कार्यकालको अनुभव बारे भोकसँग सहकर्मी आभास पराजुलीले गर्नुभएको कुराकानी हामीले पहिलो भागमा प्रस्तुत गरेका थियौं। आज भने यो दोस्रो भागमा प्रमुख रूपमा अस्ट्रेलिया र नेपालले एक अर्काबाट सिक्न सक्ने कुराहरू, साथै नेपालबाट विशेष गरी पढ्नका लागि अस्ट्रेलिया आउने विद्यार्थीहरूको ठूलो संख्याबारे चर्चा गर्नेछौ। हामी तपाईँलाई जानकारी गराउन चाहन्छौ कि यो कुराकानी नेपालमा सन् 2025 भएको जेनजी आन्दोलन र त्यसपछिको निर्वाचन तथा सरकार परिवर्तन अघि गरिएको थियो। यससँगै यो पनि जानकारी गराउन चाहन्छौ कि यो अन्तर्वार्ता अंग्रेजी भाषामा रहेको छ। Welcome to the second part of our conversation with Australia's former ambassador to Nepal, Felicity Vok. In the first part of this series, Vok reflected on the 3 years she spent as ambassador in Nepal from 2021 to 2024, along with her relationship with the country that goes long back to the 1980s, when she was studying at the University of Queensland, took a gap year and travelled across Asia as a backpacker before eventually making her way to the Himalayas. In today's episode on the SBS Nepal podcast, Abhas Parazuli speaks with Felicity Vok about what Australia and Nepal can learn from each other, as well as the significant migrant flow from the Himalayan nation to Down Under, especially for education. We would like to inform you that this interview was recorded before Nepal's 2025 Gen Z protests, the subsequent election, and the change in government that followed.
You're just talking about being posted to Nepal just as everybody was coming out of the lockdown. COVID was still the main agenda. Since then, you know, you were seen very much with your US and UK counterparts, let's say, kind of creating your own little AUKUS group in Nepal and visiting far-flung places like Rara National Park and other remote parts of Nepal. How was it? Like, what can Australia learn from Nepal and vice versa? Like, how was that dynamic, you know, getting along with the other envoys to Nepal and then creating your own little mini kind of world club?
Well, if you'd be aware, Australia traditionally has a particularly close relationship with what are regarded as or known as the Five Eyes. So, you know, countries with whom we've shared very deep historic but also contemporary democratic practices. At the time that in my first year here, I had quite a lot of connection with the US ambassador, then Brandy Berry, and the British ambassador. And we were very focused and concerned about issues around climate resilience and climate change and the impacts in what, of course, is regarded as the third pole of the world, and recognising that what happens here in the Himalaya affects everybody globally, including 1.6 billion people who live downstream from the waters that come from the Himalaya. And so the US ambassador had organised a trip to Rara Lake to focus on climate resilience initiatives that were being funded by our countries in that part of the country. It was somewhat ironic that was happening, and it was completely coincidental that had been planned and shortly before the AUKUS arrangement partnership had been announced. And so there were jokes when we were on Rara Lake about whether or not there would be submarines in the lake. But it was all tongue-in-cheek. We were there to look at ways to support more resilient, climate-resilient communities in Nepal. You asked what we learn from each other, just stepping away from the relationships with other close partners. I think what I learned particularly and what surprised me, and I hadn't anticipated when I came here to Nepal as ambassador, was how cleverly Nepal has managed its geographic location. China to the north, India to the south, the constant quest for influence in Nepal by both these countries. And the way Nepal has, over centuries, maintained its integrity, its sovereignty, and its independence, I thought was a lesson that could be taken on board by all countries. And so for me, it was particularly interesting to be looking at the geostrategic example that Nepal has set and the way it has so carefully kept relationships in balance, and not just the China-India dynamic, but also the way it has navigated its relationship historically with the UK, and being one of very few countries in the region that has not been colonised, which is a fact that a lot of people outside the country do not realise and need to be reminded of. So I think Nepal has a lot to teach the world about careful, respectful relationships with its immediate neighbours, but also with the broader world through non-alignment practices.
And what can Nepal learn, like from, obviously from Australia and then other countries? Like, what do you think is the gap in development of Nepal that it really needs to learn from other countries?
So Nepal has a very nascent, a very young parliamentary, constitutional parliamentary democracy. And I think Nepal is still finding its way through bedding down the arrangements, the structures, the system of government and governance that we've implemented in its 2015 constitution. I think Australia is the useful partner for Nepal in working towards the implementation and the strengthening of its democratic institutions and its federalist government structure. We've had over 100 years of that system as government in Australia, and there's a lot that I think we can share with each other in that space. I note that when I was here over 3.5 years, I had 10 different foreign ministers in the 3.5 year period. I had the pleasure of working with three different prime ministers here over 3.5 years. I presented my credentials to Prime Minister Orley. At the end of my posting, I was making a farewell call on Prime Minister Orley again, but I'd had both Prime Ministers, Prachanda Dahal and also Prime Minister Diopa in between, which I simply mentioned to illustrate the amount of flux and political instability in the country. And that, I think, is holding Nepal back. It's holding Nepal back from solid development of and implementation of economic policy and commercial policy. And I think that that's a critical area for the country to focus on, for that opportunities are provided for young Nepalis here in the country. Perhaps they will still need to or want to travel to countries like Australia to get their tertiary education, to get some business experience, other work experience, and develop professional networks. But I think it's so important that opportunity for created here in Nepal for young Nepalis to come back and to contribute to the country, its development and its economic prosperity.
SBS South Asian.
You're listening to SBS Nepali in conversation with Australia's former ambassador to Nepal, Felicity Vogt. We'll be back after this short break.
Like, there's obviously, you know, as you've just described, a significant migrant flow into Australia from Nepal, and the quest to come to down on the first study is also very high, as we've been seeing from the ABS data as well. What do Nepali policymakers and politicians want to see? Like, did they ever raise the issue of Nepali people in Australia and lobby for better services? Or it was never the part of the conversation you had with the Nepali establishment?
Well, it was a frequent conversation with the Nepali establishment, but I think there is a general recognition that Australia is a very open and embracing multicultural society, and also a society in which there are strong government services on offer to all people, including diaspora community members. There was a recognition that Australia was actually probably a very good option for young Nepali heading out to study overseas and to work overseas. I would guess that any conversations were also informed by the fact that almost every Nepali politician I met and every Nepali leader I met had either their own children or nieces or nephews or family members who were either settled in Australia or were studying in Australia. And so there's a deep degree of familiarity with Australian policy with regard to its Nepali community and Nepali students. And again, during COVID, I was at pains to explain to Nepal's leadership the policies that were in place to support Nepali students who, among all international students, were suffering the impacts of COVID in Australia, with education being moved online, with the difficulty of finding casual work to support themselves. But there was a lot of effort made by the Australian government at that time to support its international student population.
And that was Australia's former ambassador to Nepal, Felicity Vogue, speaking with Abhas Parazuli on SBS in Nepali. This was the second part of the conversation, and to be notified when the next episode is out, download the SBS audio app and follow SBS in Nepali. You can also find us on your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Search SBS Nepali online. For more information, visit our website sbs.com.au/Nepali. And we would like to inform you that the opinions expressed in the segment are those of the talent themselves. श्रोता वृन्द, एसबीएस नेपालीमा तपाईँ सुन्दै हुनुहुन्थ्यो. सन् 2021 सन् 2024 नेपालका लागि अस्ट्रेलियन राजदूतको भूमिका निभाएकी फेलिसिटी भोकसँग केही समय अघि सहकर्मी आभास पराजुलीले गर्नुभएको कुराकानीको यो दोस्रो भाग. यो सँगै हामी तपाईँलाई जानकारी गराउन चाहन्छौ कि यस कुराकानीमा व्यक्त गरिएका विचारहरू वक्ता स्वयंका हुन् र यी विचारहरूप्रति एसबीएसको समर्थन वा विरोध छैन. कुराकानीका बाँकी भाग तपाईँले हाम्रो पडकास्टमा सुन्न सक्नुहुन्छ. प्रकाशित हुने त्यतिकै नोटिफिकेशन पाउनका लागि अनलाइनमा एसबीएस नेपाली पडकास्ट भनेर सर्च गर्नुहोस् र तपाईँले पडकास्ट सुन्न रुचाउने प्लेटफर्म एप्पल पडकास्ट, स्पोटिफाईमा हामीलाई फलो गर्नुहोला वा एसबीएस अडियो एपलाई आजै निशुल्क डाउनलोड गर्नुहोस्. सोशल मीडियामा हामी फेसबुक, एक्स र इन्स्टाग्राममा एसबीएस नेपालीको नाममा उपलब्ध रहेका छौं भने युट्युबमा हामी अन्य दक्षिण एसियाली भाषाहरूका साथ @SBS साउथ एसियनमा रहेका छौं. थप जानकारीका लागि हाम्रो वेबसाइटको ठेगाना हो sbs.com.au/nepali.
SBS South Asian.
अनलाइन र सोशलमा थप सामग्रीहरू पाउनुहोस्. sbs.com.au/nepalimा जानुहोस् वा फेसबुकमा SBS नेपालीलाई फलो गर्नुहोस्.
यो जस्तै अन्य प्रस्तुति सुन्न चाहनुहुन्छ? एप्पल पोडकास्ट, गुगल पोडकास्ट, स्पोटिफाई मा हामीलाई खोज्नुहोस् वा तपाईँले पोडकास्ट सुन्ने अन्य सेवामा.